No time like today. So if you will live stream this on any platforms that you have a decent following on, Twitter in particular would be helpful. So let's get right into it. If somebody would, as a volunteer, just kind of work your way. We got some papers I want you to take before you leave. If you're not on our news publication, sign up over here at the table. If you're going to go visit with your legislators after this, which you should, we've got some documents that you can take that talk about the four pillars that we're looking for to stop illegal immigration in Tennessee. But here's what we're asking for. It's very simple, guys. Number one, stop the taxpayer funding of illegal alien education. It costs $577 million a year. We cannot simultaneously say we need more funding for school and then throw it away on folks that aren't Tennessee taxpayers. Stop paying any welfare, housing, or entitlements. We're not going to pay any welfare, housing, or entitlements for illegal aliens. Last time I checked, there's not another country sending me any money. Criminalize, penalize companies for mass transport illegals to Tennessee, and compulsory e-verify for all Tennessee employment. Those are the four things. If we do that, we will demagnetize our state. We won't have to worry about what the feds do every 4 years. We can take care of it today. So today we're not here to talk about the GOP's record on COVID, where they locked us down and told us that the mask works and the vaccine stopped transmission and that the kids wouldn't suffer any. We're not here to talk about billions in corporate welfare and hurting small businesses. We're not here to talk about having less transparency in government or targeting and censoring conservative organizations or our over-budget, underperforming government indoctrination camps that they call schools. That's not what we're here to talk about today, and I won't talk about it at all. But we are here to talk about illegal immigration. So let me tell you what has happened. Here's the history. December of 2019, Bill Lee approves a secret illegal alien magnet center in Tennessee. April 2021, the Tennessee Conservative News breaks the story on the covert center where kids were both molested and lost.
Yeah.
Molested and lost. We only know about six or seven of them. There's no telling how many actually happened. And the state media completely blacked out about this. How many of you seen any of the fake news media talking about the illegal immigration crisis in Tennessee? Have you seen that? No, it's all good for us, right? It's just a humanitarian mission. There could be no negative consequences for it. They're all corporately funded, just like the GOP leadership is. Listen, we had countless reports of mass transportations by illegals by bus and air. In June of 2021, the GOP Joint Study on Refugee Issues convenes and does nothing. They did nothing. In August of 2022, floods of illegal aliens pushed through the severe health department for 4 days while other people waited. We've had Chattanooga, Tennessee is authorized as a pit stop for illegal aliens in August of 2022. Illegal aliens discovered in Franklin who allegedly drugged and raped 12 young boys. Guys, are y'all breaking stuff over here?
Oh, yeah.
Let's just let the left destroy instead of create. Get the heck out of here. Get the heck out of here. Go on. Show up uninvited. Break stuff. Great work, guys. At least you're representing well. All right. Mostly adult male illegal aliens found being mass transported into Charleston. Twice deported illegal alien charged with two murders in Nashville. 600 illegal aliens said Middle Tennessee was their destination in just 1 week of processing. We got 52 weeks in a year, people. That's 30-something thousand a year, maybe 40, maybe 50, who knows. Tyson Foods just said that they're going to fire Tennesseans and hire illegal aliens. And we wonder why the corporations want rampant illegal aliens all over Tennessee, and it's because they see them as a customer and they see them as cheap labor. And the government schools see it as $12,000 per student per year for their budgets. It's the government job factories and the corporations that are making this continue to go on. So here's what the GOP has done about it. Are you ready? And then I'm going to bring up Janice Foley. Number one, in December, a bill to allow local police and sheriff to enforce immigration law, killed by Republicans. Bill stopping the taxpayer funding of illegal alien education, killed by Republicans. See, when the Democrats cheer, you know the rhinos are in charge. Bill for relocation of illegal aliens to blue states, killed by Republicans. E-Verify bill to cut off job magnets, killed by Republicans. Here's one y'all can cheer for up there. Bill letting illegal aliens have professional licenses. Where's the applause, dang it? That's the good one. That's the good one. That's what they all signed into law. Bill requiring immigration status check for voting, killed by Republicans. A bill introduced by Dale Carr and Frank Nicely to weaken illegal immigration standards for hiring was withdrawn after our reporting. Legislation to allow illegal aliens to become police officers by William Lambert was again withdrawn by our reporting.
Yes.
And here are the pending ones. This is all we got left, guys, but they can pass these laws whenever they want to. If they can call a special session to give woke Ford Motor Company $2 billion for its failing electrical Green New Deal division,
Amen.
They can certainly stop illegal immigration with a special session.
Yeah.
So we've got these laws to put illegal aliens behind bars for life for violent crime, and that's working its way through. Increasing fines for mass transporting illegals from 1K to 5K, I think we should put them out of business personally. And then a law preventing illegal aliens from being housed on state property, that's pending as well. So we're hoping something happens there. So guys, here's what I'm gonna say, then I'm gonna ask Janice Bowling, who I've known for almost 20 years, to come up here. She is the Iron Lady of the Tennessee Senate. If the men in the Tennessee Senate had half the you-know-what that Janice Bowling has, we would actually fix some stuff. I'm thinking about maybe having her teach a class on how to be a political man in the GOP in Tennessee. It would be fantastic, because we ain't got much manhood up at the top there. We don't have a GOP, we have a COP. We have a corporately owned party in Tennessee. But what's the reason for this? There's a big one. Did any of y'all read our Follow the Money report?
Yes.
90% of contributions to GOP leadership comes from outside the district and from special interest. And when the well-organized corporate interests come up against the GOP primary voters, the GOP consistently picks the corporate interests and the lobbyists and the bureaucrats. And we've got to see that end. I'd like to welcome somebody who worked with me real hard when I started up the Tennessee Conservative as we tried to get medical freedom sessions to peel back what the GOP had done to us. She was the very first freaking person to start making a ton of noise, and people followed her example, and I think we'd do a lot better if people would follow her example. Senator Janice Bowling.
It's a beautiful day God's provided, but I'll tell you what, it takes the power of the people to come and to be willing to stand and listen. And I'm going to share with you what maybe these people behind me aren't interested in hearing, but there was something that I think every one of you should know. Right now, we are a people of order. We have the Constitution, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, declare these truths to be self-evident, that we are bound by our God with certain unalienable rights. That is still the preamble of our Constitution and my bill for nullification. The foundation of legal immigrants who had come to America who were forming a government, and they knew without walls, without boundaries, if you will, without those constitutional boundaries, so that we the people keep our rights, and it's the government that gets the rights from us. So we believe in that power of the people. We believe that the people are the ones who have formed this country. And you know, we have state boundaries, we have our U.S. boundaries, and without boundaries, you are not a nation, you are not a people. And we have created ways for people to come into this country legally. And I'll share with you a little personal story. I had not intended to, didn't ask her permission, but I won't call her name. But my legislative assistant came to America from Honduras. She came legally to go to Tribeca. She graduated from Tribeca. She wanted to go on and stay to get her green card and her visa. It's difficult for people to come here legally, but she persevered. And I offered her a job in my office so that she would have a job, she would have the employment. My assistant had died unexpectedly, and I was left during that time that we were trying to fight for our rights. And this young lady is a strong Christian, and that translates internationally. But when we worked together, and then she wanted to stay on to get this, after the 2 years, she was gonna have to go back. Her mother told me, Senator Bowling, I love my daughter. That's why I want her to stay in America. And so she's doing it legally. And now she was my roommate for 2 years, so she could afford to pay her tuition. And I didn't expect to have a 24, 25-year-old roommate, but hey, it's good for the soul. And so now She will go on and she has gotten a job legally, and she will be earning her green card legally, and she will become a citizen of the United States of America. So in the Bible, and we've talked about the Bible here, the Bible talked about tribes and nations. There is no Hebrew word for race. And if you didn't know it now. God created all of us in His image. This has nothing to do with people, color, anything. This has everything to do with law and order. This has everything to do with coming in legally. There are legal ways to come. And to just disintegrate our southern border and to allow people to be brought in by who knows what, and we're finding all sorts of illegalities and drugs and murderers and prostituting the people and sex trafficking these unaccompanied children, just like we saw in Chattanooga, Tennessee, and we put a stop to it. But right now, people coming together like this and knowing what the facts are, knowing what we stand for and why we stand for them, it's the most critical thing you can do in this time in our nation's history. So I want to give all of you a round of applause and thank you for standing for the truth and for standing for our Constitution and for standing for the rule of law. Thank you.
Senator Janice Pullman, we're going to get Mark Cody over here, and then Brian Ritchie, will you come? I was going to try to get you, but I couldn't find you. Brian Ritchie, you're next. Mark Cody came out of committee to be here, so we're going to let him go. Mark Cody.
Hey, what a day to be alive! Listen, Janice Bowling, I'm going to tell you what. She's got a backbone. She doesn't back up. She doesn't back down. She is stalwart in protecting the state of Tennessee. Give her another hand. She is absolutely awesome. I'm so proud to serve with her. And let me tell you something else. If the federal government isn't doing what they're supposed to be doing, or they're overstepping their bounds, she is leading. She is tip of the spear, especially with the nullification. She's even made several people that have said no to this in committee this year. We said we're going to have a study, and they said we'd vote yes right now. And she said, I got two more yeses. She only needed five on the committee. So in May, we're actually going to be doing this on the nullification. But let me tell you something.
Yes, 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 yes.
Whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed by citizens on our citizens, whereas our state and nation suffer from violence committed on our citizens by non-citizens. Whereas acts of the violent crimes in our schools are unacceptable, whereas human trafficking is unacceptable, and the violent evil in our state enslaving the lives and violating the core values of our Creator endowed the rights to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Whereas drug addiction overwhelming their families, our government finances, our workforce productivity, as well as our health care and law enforcement. Patriots, what I'm reading here is an HJR. And words matter. And this is going to go on, and it's going to say, whereas over the decades, our leaders have called people to seek our Creator's favor by issuing proclamations like the one from John Adams on April 15th, 1977. At that point, he called our nation to prayer and fasting. You know, I hear people talk about what our founding fathers did and didn't do. This was the president of the United States that was among our founding fathers that said prayer and fasting. And he called the nation to that. Here in Tennessee, it's already passed the House. It's going to be on the Senate floor. It's going on to say, be further resolved that we recognize God as our Creator and the King of all glory, as both the authority, and whereas be it further resolved that we ask the Holy Spirit to fill our halls, government, classrooms, and places of business and churches in our homes in peace, that we're calling on those that are physically able and spiritually inclined to join us for a 30-day season of prayer and fasting for the month of July of this year. We're not going to solve our nation's or our state's issue by more laws.
That's right.
We're going to solve it by a spiritual revival.
That's
by us standing up. Blessings on you all, and God bless America!
Okay, guys, we're going to bring Brian Ritchie up. Thank you, Senator Mark Pody, for being a conservative through and through, even when it hurts. Now listen, Brian Ritchie has taken up the mantle of Bruce Griffey. Bruce Griffey was the only person in the Tennessee House early on when I started the Tennessee Conservative that actually brought this to the attention of leadership and tried to get something done. You know what it got him? Stripped from his committees by Cameron Sexton.
That's right.
That's how much leadership Cameron Sexton and Randy McNally and Bill Lee hate anyone that's going to talk about illegal immigration and their record on it, that they will strip them of their committee if they make too much noise about it. And here's somebody who's got a pair of brass you-know-whats, and I'm glad he's here, Brian Ritchie.
Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming out. The sun is shining. It's a nice day here in Nashville. It's not as pretty as Blount County, unfortunately, but it'll do. Hey, immigration is something that we all are in favor of when it's done through the proper channels. I served honorably in the United States military when we were deployed, and I saw firsthand the amount of narcotics that were coming out of South America. We intercepted 26.2 metric tons of cocaine that was pure and uncut just during one deployment. And those impacts in our communities is significant, and it's caused lives all the way across America and right here in Tennessee. So when folks are following the law, we're a land of immigrants. We welcome immigration. You just have to do it based on what the current laws are. I'm proud to have House Bill 2078 going through the House committee right now. And what that particular bill, what that bill will end up doing, is currently in TCA, it is illegal for somebody to transport somebody. It is illegal for somebody to transport an illegal immigrant into the state of Tennessee for financial gain. But currently, under that TCA law, it has an immunity for our biggest perpetrators that are doing this. Our common carriers, so you think of United Airlines, Amtrak, you think of Delta, you think of Greyhound, all of these common carriers have immunity at the current time. My bill, HB 2078, will eliminate that immunity and put them on the same playing field as us. There's also another part inside of that current code that provides exemption for folks that are doing it under the guise of for religious purposes. In my opinion, if you're breaking the law, I don't care what purpose you're doing it for, you've got to come into this country legally and follow our laws. Why would the first act of you coming into our country be illegal? So it'll remove that component, and then it also increases the fine from $1,000 to $5,000 per individual that they're transporting. So super excited about that. Contact your House members, encourage them to sign on to this, get with them up there in the Senate. Senator Hensley is running that bill up in the Senate for us, and make sure you get up there. It's going to be taken up next week. But this is something that we all feel near and dear to our heart, and it's something that we need to be aware of. And as long as we're following the laws, and as long as we're doing it legally, then we'll embrace it with open arms. But I can't stand a lawbreaker, and we need to make sure that we're first step of becoming a United States citizen, first step of coming into the state of Tennessee is legal and it's lawful. I was asked by one of the colleagues on the committee, well, what advice would I end up giving to these common carriers that might have a federal contract with, say, Governor Abbott for transporting these illegals across the country when it comes to coming through Tennessee? And I said, my recommendation and advice to those common carriers would be go around Tennessee. Thank you.
Appreciate you very much. Brian Ritchie. Well, we got Jody Barrett's coming up. All these people are in and out of committee, so we're going to get them quickly. Jody is another one who's willing to stand up on this. We've got a conservative core, but they are in the minority in the GOP. We don't have many conservatives. We've got a lot of Republicans. We've got a lot of country club Republicans, but we've got very few conservatives. But we're going to invite one up here, Mr. Jody Barrett.
Thank you, Brandon. Good afternoon. It's good to be with you all. I'm Representative Jody Barrett from Dixon County. Represent Dixon, Hickman, and Lewis here in Tennessee, home of a lot of patriots. Glad to say that Lewis County had the highest percentage of Trump voters in any county in the state of Tennessee. Those are the folks I'm proud to represent. So I'm here today just to share a couple of things with you. First of all, a couple of things that I've worked on in my experience just from this week. Earlier this week, I presented a House joint resolution on the House floor to support the governor's efforts to send National Guard troops to the border, to Texas. And during that presentation, I had to listen to a member of the other party who spent 5 minutes telling me how everything that we were doing with that resolution was xenophobic and inhumane and unjust and racist and all of the names that we get called for wanting to stand up and enforce the laws that are on the books in this country. And when we was finally done, I had an opportunity to respond, and I told him, you know what? He called it a humanitarian crisis. He didn't like the fact that we were militarizing the border. And I said, well, you know what, sir? I agree with you. It is a humanitarian crisis. But the problem is, and the disconnect between you and I, is that we disagree as to what caused that issue. And what caused that issue is President Biden's terrible border policies. Immediately overturning 98 executive orders previously in place, put in place by President Trump, opening the border, making it a sieve for everything possible you could imagine, every horrible thing that could happen, human trafficking, drug trafficking, sex trafficking, crime, all pouring across our borders because this president refuses to do his job. So I reached out, I shared the district with Congressman Mark Green, as you all know who he is and his role that he's been fighting hard for us in D.C. against this Mayorkas Biden crime syndicate. And he sent me a couple of stats that I could share with you all that are Tennessee specific. So just, this may shock some of you. It's estimated that up to 80% of crime in our state right here in Tennessee, 80% is because there's some drug-related nexus.
Yeah.
Yeah.
An estimated 800 methamphetamine labs are operating at any given time in Tennessee. 800 at any given time. The CDC, now this is the CDC. This is not Jody Barrett making this up. This is not Congressman Green or the Republican caucus. The CDC says overdose deaths among adolescents aged 10 to 19 increased 109% from 2019 to 21.
Wow.
What happened in those 2 years? That's right, Joe Biden. You can say his name. It's not Voldemort. While adolescent deaths involving illicit fentanyl increased 182%, folks, 182%. The harsh reality is one pill can kill. One pill. And it's ravishing our youth across this country and across this state. Fentanyl is in everything, and all it takes is a tiny speck to kill us. So overall, non-fatal overdoses among children 17 years old and under increased 163% from 2020 to 22 in Tennessee. Again, what changed? That's right. In Davidson County, ranks as the second worst metro for overdose deaths in the country.
Wow.
Right here. Right here.
That's surprising.
Tennessee ranks number 5 in overdose deaths. Fentanyl is driving that. And fentanyl is pouring across our border. It all comes back to what's going on at the southern border and the Biden administration's refusal to do their job and enforce the laws that are on the books.
That's right.
So a couple more border stats for you real quick. I'm going to make it real quick. Migrant encounters at the southwest border. 7,254,000.
That's the first mistake. They're not migrants, they're illegal aliens.
Nationwide. Nationwide, 8.8 million encounters. Known gotaways, 1.8 million. Folks, these numbers are off the charts.
Can't let them get away with it.
That's more people, more encounters than we have population here in Tennessee.
That's right. We have a border.
Think about that. The entire state of Tennessee has just poured across our borders.
That's right.
And they walked right in.
Yep. Yeah.
not only have they walked right in, they've been welcomed with open arms, given everything that they've asked for, phones, you know, all the stuff that you've all heard. But here in Tennessee, we're going to do what we can. We're sending troops to the border. We're supporting Texas. We're passing laws left and right here in Tennessee. And thanks to you, people like Brandon that are fighting the fight and getting the word out. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you, Judy Barrett. We have any other lawmakers that need to get back because of committee meetings, raise your hand, make noise. If not, we're going to move on until a few that Gino, I think, is in side committee meetings. All right, let's look here. Let's see what we got on the list, guys. Thank you all so much. If you will, if you've got a Twitter app and you're not live streaming, if you would retweet the live stream of this on X, etc., that would be helpful. All right, here we go. We got Chris Spencer. We're just going to keep in the vein of folks that are in politics or wanting to get to it. Now, let me introduce Chris. I've known Chris for quite a few months, and I've talked to him about his candidacy for Robin. Good to see you. His candidacy. He's running against one of the most liberal rhinos in the state of Tennessee. We actually even gave him the Rhino of the Year Award, Farrell Hale. He wants you to have no medical freedom at all. He fought us tooth and nail the whole way, and he's got tons of bad votes on illegal immigration. And we got somebody here who's the polar opposite of him. So write this guy a check, go knock on his door, whatever you got to do, because we need to get Hale the hell out of there. Here you go.
Well, thank you, Brandon. What a beautiful day God has given us here today in Tennessee. And I thank all of you for attending. And Brandon, thank you so much for the work that you and the Tennessee Conservative is doing. And please go to his website and help donate, because he is our voice for conservative news here in Tennessee. And him and his team are doing an amazing job. They're doing an amazing job. So thank you. Thank you, Brandon. I want to thank the courage of our legislators, Janice and Jody and Mark. Give them a hand, because it wasn't easy to come out here. And I know Brian Ritchie too. They took courage to come out here to speak to you about illegal immigration. Now, let me tell you, I have been meeting with voters in District 18 since October. And I've talked to thousands and thousands of folks in that time. And the number one issue that everybody I talk to is illegal immigration. It's not even a close second. Just like Brandon's been saying, primary voters care the most about illegal immigration. Now, you got to ask your question, why are we not doing more about illegal immigration? And I think there's two reasons why. The one is what Brandon's been talking about for months, is the special interest. Because special interest, we have to change our laws here with special interests. If we do not, then we're going to continue to not have good conservative candidates run, because money is a big issue for them. We should at least be even. Right now, PACs can give $28,800 to a candidate, but an individual can only max out at $1,800. This has to stop. It has to become even, at least. It has to stop.
Yep, that's right.
The second thing is that we have to close our primaries. Yay! We have got to close our primaries. Yay! And let me tell you, when we do not close our primaries, you know what happens? It keeps conservatives, such as myself, from either running or getting elected, because the establishment can get Democrats to switch and vote for them, because
that's
they
right.
don't want to vote for me,
right.
because I'm conservative. So
that's, right.
that's the second thing we must do, is we must close our primaries. Yeah. Who wants Democrats to vote for Republicans in our
state?
I don't want that. So please put pressure on your legislators that we want to close our primaries, okay? And so Brandon did mention, I'm running for District 18, but don't get held up on that. I will vote for every single one of you.
Yeah.
I will be a senator for Tennessee, and not just District 18. And Senator Hale, he does have a bad record. He might be a nice man, and we are not questioning that, but we are questioning his record. And I will only concentrate on the illegal immigration, because his record expands a lot further than that. But he has voted in 2015. Yes. In 2015, Senator Hale voted to give illegal aliens in-state tuition, okay? And the funny thing about that is, last breakfast meeting for the Sumner County Republican breakfast, he literally blamed Donald Trump for that vote. He blamed Donald Trump because he said that Donald Trump was going to legalize or make all the illegals citizens, which was not the case. He also co-sponsored a bill in 2022 to allow commercial and business license for illegal aliens. We are not demagnetizing the state of Tennessee, and we need to have people that will run and get elected, that will do the four pillars that Brandon has said. And I dedicate myself to that. I will 100% dedicate to the four pillars that Brandon talked about. So let me just end with this. You all have influence. You all know people in Hendersonville, Gallatin, White House, Hartsville, Westmoreland.
Oh, yeah, we know
Hartsville. You all know people there. Please reach out to them. Tell them my website, chrisspencerforsenate.com.
It's full of illegals.
And tell them to support me. And I thank you so much for all this time. Thank you, Brandon, once again.
Okay. So I am a big fan of... I love working with conservative grassroots organizational leaders, and I never get personal about policy, because there'll be something we can all be mad about at each other next week, because you know, if you draw a Venn diagram, everybody doesn't agree on everything. But one organization that has done a good job of helping me fight corporate welfare, go for transparency in government, who every time there's some shenanigans where GOP leadership is trying to hide what they're trying to do through dirty caption bills, AFP has given me the scoop. Here's this crap they're trying to run, and we run it. We call attention. Sometimes it gets killed. And so I'd like to invite Pamela Furr. You may know her from 99.7, but also AFP.
Yes.
Ms. Pamela, come on up.
Thank you very much. I am, before I get started talking about my experience at the southern border, I just want to say thank you to our state troopers who are back there keeping an eye on things. Love you guys. I always feel a little safer when I see the hat and the badge. I don't know about you. And the reason why I bring that up, I had the opportunity to go to the southern border last summer. Americans for Prosperity Foundation and the Libre Initiative invited quite a few Tennesseans to go down there and get eyes on to see exactly what was happening. Several lawmakers here had the opportunity to go. So I went down there and I got to see the nightmare that our Border Patrol agents down there live with every day. I got to see firsthand the nightmare that organizations like Catholic Charities live with every day on the border. They're overwhelmed, they're overworked, they're certainly underpaid, and it's not letting up. It keeps growing. The problem of illegal immigration keeps growing and growing and growing. Why? Because Joe Biden will not do his job. Right? Did you know, and I'm gonna round here, I round things, I round numbers. Did you know that there are 19,000, rounding, Border Patrol agents that are keeping our borders safe? Not just the southern border, I'm talking about the entire border of the United States of America. 19,000 Border Patrol agents. Let's put that into perspective. New York City has more than 55,000 New York City police officers, just for New York City. So how in the world are we expected to keep our borders safe and secure if we only have 19,000 Border Patrol agents? You've got more illegals coming in than the Border Patrol agents can keep up with. Not only that, I know states are sending National Guardsmen down there to help with the situation, but 100 troops here and there is not going to fix the problem. It'll help, they're appreciative of it, But the problem is we need to secure our borders, and it has not been happening. Yes, there is a humanitarian crisis happening at the border. I saw it myself. I visited Catholic Charities where mothers and children come through and they get a hot meal and a hot shower, and they can sleep at night under a roof where it's hopefully safe. But they're so overwhelmed with the amount of people that come through, it's turned into a disgusting place to be. I saw it with my own eyes. Who caused that problem? Joe Biden caused that problem.
Barack Obama.
Joe Biden, right at this moment, caused that problem. So how does that translate to the borders of Tennessee? Well, those illegals that are coming through, and by the way, I saw the wall. I saw the George W. Bush wall when he was governor, and then I saw the current governor's wall, and then I saw Donald Trump's wall, which is huge, huge. And there were pockets of space where there was no wall, like football field sizes, right, where there was no wall. That's where these illegals are getting through. They come through at night when they think no one's watching. People are watching, there's just so many, there's not a whole lot you can do. Build a wall, that'll stop it, or at least kind of, yeah, slow it down, at least slow it down. At any rate, I don't know what I kind of rambled on that one. Here is what I want to say to you. How does that translate to Tennessee? Those who are getting in illegally have not now caused Tennessee to be a border state. We're a Texas, we're in Arizona, we're a California as far as the border is concerned. And we cannot keep up with the crime that's happening, the child trafficking that's happening, the drug problem that's happening. We can't keep up with it either. They have caused major problems around the country, and they're causing problems here. Did you know in Nashville, in Chattanooga, in Knoxville, in Memphis, if police detain someone who could possibly be an illegal, they're not allowed to arrest them for being illegal. They can't do that. Their hands are tied because their bosses are saying, sorry, we're not going to give that information to ICE agents. So that's why I want to praise, let me find my notes here, hold on, Rusty Grills, who, by the way, was at the border with us, Representative Rusty Grills. He is trying to get a board passed that mandates local law enforcement report undocumented immigrants, I call them illegal aliens, undocumented folks to federal authorities. Under this legislation, police will be required, not just authorized, but required to communicate with federal officials about the immigration status of any individual they encounter. Good job, Rusty Grills. If you get an opportunity, tell him thank you. Now that's, you know, a band-aid. There's a lot of other problems, but at least there are some that are trying to get some things done here in the state of Tennessee. My name is Kamala Furr. I'm a grassroots engagement director for Americans for Prosperity Tennessee. Come find us, come join us as we knock doors across this great state of Tennessee and talk to people like you, people like me, who want something done at the border, who want lower taxes and less government. Thank you so much for the opportunity to be here.
Thank you, Kamala. Thank you very much. All right, we're going to have Steve and then Rebecca, if you'll get up in the queue. Steve Abramowitz is an escapee. Most of the folks that I have encountered that move here from other states moved here for a reason. And they tend to be more conservative and awake than your average Tennessean. They really do. We still don't want them to California or Tennessee. We don't want them to. But people leave their old states because they don't like the way they're ran, and we ask them to, you know, not bring their politics here if you can. And Steve is one of the few in the state that actually covers a lot of state and local movers and shakers. When I can't do as many interviews as he does, I do my best with the news publication. So he's one of us, Steve Abramowitz.
Thank you, Brandon. Thanks for inviting me. Following Kamala Furr is never fun, but I'm going to do my best. And it's hot, so hopefully you just ignore everything I say and stay cool. All right, here we go. In January of this year, Nashville took a momentous step in recognizing and celebrating its Kurdish community, unveiling a marker that pays homage to their resilience and contributions. For local Kurds, this marker symbolizes a testament to their journey from persecution in their homeland to integration and belonging in Nashville. With approximately 20,000 Kurds calling Nashville home, their story reflects the broader immigration experience in America, characterized by life, liberty, and embracing American citizenship through integration and assimilation. Immigration has long been a cornerstone of the American narrative, enriching the nation's cultural tapestry while fueling economic growth and innovation. Yet, the discourse surrounding immigration is not at all simple. There are myriad social, political, and economic factors that shape public opinion and policy decisions. The Speaker of the House under Reagan, Tip O'Neill, said, "All politics are local. Until the politics of a situation hurts people at the kitchen table, nothing will change." Governors Abbott and DeSantis brilliantly made illegal immigration a local issue by delivering illegals to sanctuary cities by bus for all eyes to see. Local. While there are surely stories of triumph and resilience, the illegal immigration narrative also grapples with sobering realities and urgent challenges. The tragic murder of 2-year-old Jeremy Powell Caceres by an individual with a history of immigration-related issues serves as a stark reminder of the complex intersection between immigration and public safety. The tuberculosis outbreak in Chicago's migrant center is a health issue too. While vast majorities of immigrants contribute positively to their communities, incidents like these underscore the need for comprehensive immigration reform and screening that balances security with compassion and law and health. A controlled, methodical process, not open, chaotic borders. Latin American countries have actually witnessed a decline in murder rates in recent years, a trend attributed to the migration of criminal elements to the United States. This trend raises critical questions about border security, asylum policies, and the United States' role in addressing the root causes of migration in the region. The Biden administration's parole policy has led to a surge in arrivals from Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela. And while the humanitarianism should always be the core of immigration policy, there is clearly a need for a state response. Some states and cities have taken proactive measures to support undocumented immigrants. I call them magnets. California, for example, has expanded access to healthcare and housing for undocumented individuals, regardless of their immigration status. Debates rage about taxpayer resources and the fairness of providing benefits to undocumented immigrants. Meanwhile, the corporate sector is grappling with its own immigration-related challenges, particularly in light of labor shortages exacerbated by the COVID-19 pandemic. Companies like China-owned Tyson Foods, you can look it up, over 400 partners of Tent Foundation have adjusted their recruitment strategies to attract and retain workers, including asylum seekers and refugees. Chattanooga Volkswagen just voted to unionize. You can guess what's coming next. But let's zero in on what's really being affected here and what's this might very well be about. In the end, the census. The last day to submit your response is April 12, 2024. The census matters because it dictates the distribution of the 435 members of the House of Representatives among the states. Remember your high school civics? A larger state population means more seats in the People's House. As millions move from California and New York to Texas, Florida, Tennessee, and Idaho, all red states, their elected power shifts. This is a concern for the blue states, but as citizens head for redder climes, the flood of immigrants to blue sanctuary cities presents an opportunity for blue states with declining populations to offset their numerical losses. The negative consequences of Abbott and DeSantis shipping illegals instead of deporting them out of the country. Our Tennessee Republican Senator Bill Hagerty understands this and is taking on what is beyond question a quote, sheer power grab, unquote, by the blue states. Senator Hagerty recently tried to legislate the citizenship question through an amendment to the Democrats' new spending bill, excluding non-citizens from census count. Common sense, right? Unfortunately, it failed to pass the Democratic-controlled Senate with all Democrats voting no. Very telling. The vote is eerily similar to the intense debates over slavery at the Continental Convention in 1787, where the modern Democratic Party's forerunners insisted on counting slaves for population numbers, revealing a priority for power over human welfare. It just comes down to this. The Democratic Party's interest lies not in the immigrants' voice or even their lives, but in the numbers they add to the population for their own electoral power. In other words, politics trumps humanity. As a nation built by immigrants, America has a moral imperative to uphold. Our legacy is that of a beacon of hope and opportunity for people around the world. By embracing compassion, empathy, and pragmatism, we can work together a more just, harmonious, and inclusive legal immigration system that reflects our Tennessee values and inspirations as a diverse and resilient society, like the legal Kurds of Nashville and not like Venezuelan Tren de Agua prison gang. If the shining city on the hill can radiate outward from Tennessee, inviting legal immigration, we can positively affect all of America instead of being brought low by DC and the courts. Tell your legislators to vote yes, HB 2078, 2432, 2124, and 1247, and their state Senate companions. Thank you for listening and coming out today. You're all patriots. God bless Tennessee and continue blessing America.
Thank you, Steve Abramowitz. All right, guys. I'm excited to get Rebecca Day up here because she represents some ladies that I do dearly love, Moms for Liberty, if you're out there. Thank you. Now, listen, I got an email from Ms. Steenman says we're gonna move our legislative day to help you. That's like one of the nicest things anybody's done since I've been running this Tennessee conservative. And I did need some help. I needed as many people as I can get here because we're crying out in the wilderness here. And so I appreciate you ladies. Y'all were right beside me during COVID to try to get our kids back to normalcy. And here you are again doing the work that the GOP leadership should be doing if they, again, had as much manliness as Moms for Liberty has on these issues. It's terrible. It's terrible when a bunch of moms come up here and like, the GOP is like way down here. The moms are up here. I thought they were supposed to lead, right? So I'd like to invite somebody from my hometown, the Hamilton County chapter of Moms for Liberty, Ms. Rebecca Day.
It's very encouraging to me to see so many people here today, you know, wanting to protect Tennessee borders. And I want to start out by letting everyone know that Moms for Liberty Tennessee supports legal immigration and improving laws for expedited legal immigration pathways. We believe citizenship should be filled with those who enter legally and put America first. As we all know, and we've heard, I've heard almost every speaker talk about Chattanooga. I was born and raised in Chattanooga, and I'm the chapter chair of Hamilton County Moms for Liberty. We love the Williamson chapter. They organized the legislative day on the Hill today. It was awesome. We appreciate all the legislators that came and spoke. But we all know Biden's open border policy has led to easy entry for criminal cartels, bringing drugs and hiding behind trafficked women and children. These unaccompanied children often suffer from abuse, and I believe that we all care about these children, the left, the right, the middle, everybody cares about these children. And so today I'm just going to quickly run through a timeline of events that happened back in 2021 that Brandon mentioned earlier in our county that clearly shows how families and children in our county specifically, but it could be in other counties in Tennessee, have been directly affected. On April the 11th, 2021, Hamilton County Schools District Homeless Liaison sent an email to admins and principals instructing them to, quote, immediately register migrant children, end quote. And in this email, it said you must register them without proof of residency, a birth certificate, immunization records, or proof of guardianship, as they are covered under the McKinney-Vento Homeless Act. And remember that term. While taxpaying citizens must provide legal documents to enroll our children, illegal immigrants are getting a free pass. But at what cost? One recent example is from Chicago just this week, where they're currently dealing with a measles outbreak that has made its way into their public schools via a migrant shelter. So at the same time that this email went out from the school system, there was a group called the Baptiste Group. They're a contractor out of Atlanta, and they were housing unaccompanied children at the former Tennessee Temple dorm in Chattanooga. The group had a contract with the federal government, and it stated that they were holding children until they were reunited with a sponsor or appeared at an immigration hearing. And we all know that migration is a big business funded by the Biden administration, but that's really funded by us, the American taxpayer. Our mayor at the time said that he was embarrassed at the lack of information shared with his office about the children, and he admitted that he learned about the children from our local news media. Additionally, Congressman Fleischman confirmed the federal government was not being forthcoming with information. As Brandon said, he, Tennessee Conservative, reported on a busload of adult and children illegal immigrants seen disembarking at Chattanooga's airport. And in response, our state representatives, thankfully, they released a joint statement asking Biden to fulfill his duty as commander-in-chief and secure our borders. And remember, this was back in 2021, so, you know, this has been going on for 3 years now. Also, Jen Psaki was the press secretary at the time, and when she was asked about the children being flown into Chattanooga, she made the false claim that they were only traveling through Tennessee. She went on to say that Chattanooga is the right place geographically because it has a lot of states around it, so it's a place where flights have gone through as children are moving on to other destinations. But they weren't. They were in Chattanooga. Then our DA's office, as Brandon mentioned, joined in an investigation into the Baptiste group because they had a sheltered minor there who reported that he witnessed staff kissing a migrant child. And there were also reports of a child going missing from the facility. At this point, Haggerty, Blackburn, and Fleischman sent a letter to the federal government demanding transparency because HHS and the Biden administration were stonewalling the release of information. And it was, they asked about information related to the resettlement of immigrants in Tennessee specifically. So these events from 2021 shed light on the Biden administration's failure to proactively inform our state and local officials about what is happening and how American taxpayer dollars are being used. So what we're urging our elected officials to do is prioritize Tennessee citizens and listen to our voices. And we're also asking you for help. So what we've done in our county is, what you can do in your county is you can submit a FOIA to your school system asking for the number of McKinney-Vento Homeless Act students. And then when you get this information, send it to your legislator because they don't know. If you don't get the information, chances are you won't. Let them know that you're not getting the information. And then also I have to give a plug for Moms for Liberty. If you have a Moms for Liberty in your county, please connect with them. And if you don't, please consider starting one. You can go to momsforliberty.org and start a chapter. You're not alone. Moms for Liberty's purpose is to protect children and parental rights in America by unifying, educating, and empowering parents. And we're doing amazing work around the country. Thank you.
All right, guys. You know where I like to be? Home. I like to be damned home. I got two beautiful girls. I got a beautiful wife. I like to work in isolation. Many of you are here. You took off work, used vacation days, burned the gas, paid for the hotel bills. It's because you care. Now listen, we're right here at the end. I'm going to wrap it up. Please go into this den of no, please go into Cordell Hall here and try to see if you can get GOP leadership to listen to you. If you go over to this table, watch the glass. But if you go over to the table, you'll see the little packet of information. If you've yet to get one of these, please do get it. It has the four pillars for stopping illegal immigration at the state level in Tennessee. If you've not signed up for the Tennessee Conservative News, if you're not on our e-newsletter, you won't get the truth about this stuff from Tennessee's corporately funded mainstream media. Guys, I love you. Thank you for not letting me be alone. I was nervous that I would be, but y'all came up and supported this effort. I appreciate you. God bless you. We'll see you next time.